Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Tuesday, March 1st, 2022. Coming up this hour.
Russia steps up shelling of key cities in Ukraine. We are live with the latest.
More companies abandon ties to Russia as Moscow becomes increasingly isolated.
And the war becomes a key focus for President Biden in tonight's State of the Union address.
New York Mayor Adams says the NYPD has been too slow in designating hate crimes. Plus, Hong Kong's COVID-19 fatality rate is now one of the highest in the world. I'm Mike DeBar. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. Blowout loss for the Nets, easy win for the Devils, and a marathon bargaining session to try and end the baseball lockout.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and global stocks are retreating again this morning. We're coming up to 6:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down 25 points, Dow futures down 177, and NASDAQ futures down 88. The DAX in Germany is down 2.1%. The 10-year Treasury up 24 32nds, yield 1.74%, and the yield on the 2-year at 1.31%. Nathan.
Karen, we'll have more on markets in a minute, but we begin in Ukraine. Russia has escalated shelling overnight in key cities as a large Russian convoy moves slowly toward the capital of Kyiv. Amy Morris has the latest from our Bloomberg 99.1 newsroom in Washington.
Senators held a closed-door briefing on the Russian invasion of Ukraine last night, where Ukraine's ambassador said her country needs more military weapons. Republican Senator Mitt Romney says the U.S. can provide some help.
We continue to have the capacity to get armament and nourishment to fighters in Ukraine. That's done not by us directly.
Democratic Senator Chris Coons says they're bracing now for a humanitarian crisis.
I suspect Russia will try and starve the population of Kyiv. We have to be prepared to provide significant humanitarian relief.
New satellite images today show a 40-mile-long Russian military convoy just north of Kyiv. In Washington, I'm Amy Morris, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Amy, thank you. As Russia steps up attacks on Ukraine, the fighting could turn even more brutal. That's a concern we're hearing from retired Lieutenant General Ben Hodges, former commander of U.S. Army Europe.
It was 2 days ago, the whole world saw this missile that slammed into an apartment building, and that sort of thing is going to increase. I think he will do whatever it takes to, number one, to decapitate the government, and number two, to avoid the humiliation of his forces being defeated and not able to take Kyiv.
Retired Army Lieutenant General Ben Hodges spoke with our Washington correspondent Joe Matthew on Bloomberg Sound On. Catch the program weekdays at 5 p.m. Eastern on Bloomberg Radio.
Well, Karen, the list of companies abandoning Russia is growing quickly, and the mass exodus is reversing 3 decades of investment by Western business. Bloomberg's Renita Young joins us live with the details. Good morning, Renita.
Good morning, Nathan. Russia's largest foreign investor, BP, led the way with its surprising announcement on Sunday that it would exit its stake in state-controlled Rosneft. That move could result in a $25 billion write-off and cut its global oil and gas production by a third. Shell followed yesterday, saying it's ending partnerships with state-controlled Gazprom, citing Russia's, quote, senseless act of military aggression. And Equinor, which is Norway's biggest energy company and majority owned by the state, also announced it'll start withdrawing from joint ventures in Russia worth about $1.2 billion. Live in New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Renita, thank you. A couple of Wall Street titans are speaking out about the Russian invasion. J.P. Morgan CEO Jamie Dimon warns that disconnecting Russian banks from the SWIFT messaging system may bring unintended consequences.
A sanction says I cannot do business with you. A SWIFT thing says I can't use a communication to do business with you. I can still do business with you. And there are a lot of workarounds on SWIFT, so they're different tools, but used for different reasons.
J.P. Morgan CEO Jamie Dimon made the comments in an interview with a Bloomberg's Ed Hammond, saying market volatility will remain high as long as the war in Ukraine continues.
Well, we also caught up, Karen, with Citadel founder Ken Griffin. The billionaire says this is a very critical time in geopolitics.
I think we're at a very, very, very volatile inflection point. It will come down to whether or not the Russians will be satisfied by simply extending their effective borders in the Ukraine. Will they take Kyiv? Will they position themselves to reach beyond the borders of the Ukraine. The last is terrifying to markets.
Citadel founder Ken Griffin made those comments in an upcoming interview on Bloomberg Wealth with David Rubenstein. The show debuts March 22nd at 9 p.m. Eastern on Bloomberg Radio.
Oh, good. Market volatility, Nathan, remains high as world powers step in to isolate commodity-rich Russia. Let's get the latest on the action live with Bloomberg's John Tucker. John.
Karen, the risk to markets includes disruptions to supplies of raw materials, which threaten to stoke high inflation and hamper growth. We saw Bayer this morning warning that the Ukraine invasion poses a risk to its outlook. Those pressures may also impact monetary policy. Brett McGonigal is chairman of Capital Link.
At the end of the day, what I think is going to happen is this gives some sort of a pause to an overly hawkish Fed.
Deutsche Bank strategists say stocks typically decline around 6 to 8% after a geopolitical event before retracing those losses in about 3 weeks. Now, aside from equities, oil pushing higher, investors try to figure out whether a possible release of strategic reserves will have much of an impact. Checking prices right now, Brent crude up 3% at $101.27 a barrel. Live in New York, I'm John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, John, thank you. The invasion of Ukraine will take the spotlight tonight in President Biden's State of the Union address. Originally, he planned to highlight the improving coronavirus outlook and rebrand his domestic policy priorities. The timing of tonight's speech creates a large opportunity for the president, according to Barbara Perry, Director of Presidential Studies at the Miller Center of Public Affairs.
If he seizes this moment, gives a good, solid speech, acknowledges people's pain, points out what he's done well, where his victories have been. And I think on the Ukrainian business, this could be his Ishbi-9 Berliner moment of John Kennedy standing at the Berlin Wall in 1963. I don't know how to say it in Russian, but Ishbi-9 Ukrainian.
Barbara Perry was a guest on Bloomberg's Balance of Power. Catch a special edition of the program tonight with live coverage of the State of the Union address. It starts at 8:30 p.m. Eastern on Bloomberg Radio and Television. S&P futures now down 25 points. Dow futures down 186. NASDAQ futures are lower by 88 points. Straight ahead, local headlines and a check of sports. This is Bloomberg. It's now 6:07 on Wall Street. We're 33 degrees in Central Park. Got an accident in Newark. It's on northbound Route 21 at Mill Street. Details coming up in traffic. First, Michael Barr with more on what's going on in New York and around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. New York City Mayor Eric Adams said that he hopes replacing the NYPD's hate crime unit head will add a sense of urgency to the issue.
I thought we were too slow in designating, investigating something as a potential hate crime.
Mayor Adams says he wanted a new face and a new vision investigating hate crimes. Earlier this month, the NYPD reassigned Inspector Jessica Corey, head of the Hate Crime Task Force. The decision followed a number of high-profile incidents targeting members of the Asian Americans and Pacific Islanders communities, as well as an overall increase in hate crimes across the city. Meanwhile, Mayor Adams also talked about the city hoping to lift more COVID mandates in businesses and schools.
We are trending in the right direction. And every morning when I wake up and speak with my doctors, as I stated from the beginning, we're going to follow the science, and they have followed the science. We want to get to, we're at the right level we want to be. We just don't want to move too quickly now that children are coming back.
Mayor Adams talked with Bloomberg's Joe Matthew on Balance of Power. Hong Kong's COVID-19 fatality rate is now one of the highest in the world. There has been a wave of deaths among its under-vaccinated elderly population. The Senate last night took up the issue of a woman's right to an abortion. The vote to open debate on the Women's Health Protection Act failed. Republicans widely opposed the bill and filibustered it, stopping the measure from proceeding in the legislative process. Still, Democrats went ahead with the vote, put Republicans on record opposing the measure. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer of New York says he supports the bill.
We must fight to stop these insidious efforts to curtail a woman's right to access safe, legal abortion. And we must assert the federal government's role to protect this constitutional right.
The bill is meant to federally safeguard abortion rights, which faces an uncertain future in the U.S. Supreme Court. People are out to party as New Orleans' first full-dress Mardi Gras is back. Today, back-to-back parades are taking place. Masks against COVID-19 are required only in indoor public spaces. The parades were canceled last year. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Already Mardi Gras. Thank you, Michael. Coming up to 6:10 on Wall Street, time for the Bloomberg Sports Update with John Stanshaw.
Thanks, Nathan. Still no labor deal to end the baseball lockout, but at least they are trying. The two sides met until 2 a.m. They'll be back at 11 this morning. They pushed back the deadline. It was to be last night. If no deal, then opening day would be postponed. That deadline is now 5 o'clock today. Earlier, the big baseball story was Derek Jeter's surprise resignation as CEO of the Miami Marlins, an apparent disagreement with his boss over the direction of the franchise. Jeter had a 4% ownership stake, which he will now sell off. Long night for the Nets in Brooklyn. Toronto scored 42 points in the first quarter, and the rout was on. The Raptors won 133-97. Rookie Scotty Barnes scored 28 points. He made his first 11 shots. Nets still without the injured Kevin Durant. He is expected back soon. They were without Kyrie Irving, who hasn't played a home game all season. And Nets coach Steve Nash, who was at the arena and did his pregame presser, then had to leave for health and safety protocol. The Nets have now lost 14 of 17. Irving did lead them to a victory last weekend in Milwaukee, and then he spoke about perhaps being allowed to play home games despite being unvaccinated.
You know, just remaining patient and just seeing where things end up in this next week or so or next 2 weeks. I'm not too sure, but I know as much as you do. And I want to say this is that I'm very appreciative of all those that are pushing behind the scenes to make our world a better place.
New York City is going to start allowing unvaccinated fans into the arena, but that may not mean Irving will then be allowed to play. Devils, a 7-2 rout of Vancouver. Fordham beat UMass. John Stashauer, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
John, thanks. S&P futures now down 27 points. Dow futures down 200. NASDAQ futures lower by 95 points. The 10-year Treasury now up 27.32 with a yield 1.73%. Yield on the 2-year 1.29%. Stay with us. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by Audi. Don't let someone else drive off in the Audi model you've always wanted. Visit a Tri-State Audi dealer to get behind the wheel of yours today.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and futures this morning are falling. There's a fresh wave of volatility that's hitting global markets as the conflict in Ukraine intensifies amid mounting penalties against Russia. Stocks in Europe are falling as well, bonds gaining, oil pushing higher. Check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. Right now, S&P futures down 28 points, Dow futures down 190, and NASDAQ futures down 100. And the 10-year Treasury up 23.32, the yield 1.74%. The yield on the 2-year, 1.31%. NYMEX crude oil is up 3.2% of $3.08 at $98.80 a barrel. COMEX gold up 1.3% of $24.50 at $19.25 an ounce. The euro 1.1177 against the dollar. British pound 1.3421. The yen's at 114.81. And Bitcoin's higher, up more than 4.5% at $43,550. Chevron doubling its share buyback to as much as $10 billion a year, pledging that shareholders will see the benefits of high oil prices by locking in spending at historically low levels and reducing costs. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, thank you very much. A 40-mile convoy of Russian tanks and other vehicles is threatening Ukraine's capital, Kyiv, as an intense shelling attack targeted the country's second-largest city. Meanwhile, both sides look to resume talks in the coming days aimed at stopping the fighting. Major League Baseball has extended its deadline for reaching a labor deal to today at 5 p.m. for salvaging opening day as scheduled on March 31st. Locked out players and team owners engaged in a series of intense negotiations that began yesterday and stretched into early this morning. In the NBA, the Nets lost. In the NHL, the Devils and Bruins won. The Capitals lost. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Thanks, Michael. It's 6:19 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak, and Bloomberg's Maria Tadeo is with us now from Warsaw, Poland, as we continue following fast-moving developments in the war in Ukraine, including, Maria, this red headline that just crossed the Bloomberg terminal minutes ago. The European Union now seeking to block 7 Russian banks from the SWIFT messaging system, including VTB. This would come on top, of course, of the sanctions on several other Russian banks, including Sberbank, the second largest bank in Russia. What are the implications of this ratcheting up of potential sanctions against Russia's financial sector?
Well, I think before we get to the implications, we have to look at what happened yesterday night. The nature of this war in Ukraine completely changed. This was an escalation on all fronts. We've seen Russia essentially taking aim at residential buildings. This has nothing to do with military points or military targets. We've seen Russia this morning saying the operation, meaning the invasion and the war, is going to continue until we achieve our targets and our goals. We know what that means. Get rid of the government in Ukraine, de-weaponize the country, and, of course, bring it closer to the Russian sphere of influence. And yesterday, it was a brutal night of fighting. It is for the Ukrainian military, which is holding up. It's been 6 days. And what you sense and what you feel is that there is almost this desperation, running out of time, running out of patience from the Kremlin, that they expected this was going to be an easy 48-hour war. It is now turning into a week-long conflict. The Ukrainians still want to continue to fight. I mean, we should make it very clear to people there is a will, enormous will in the country to resist, and that is being manifested in the brutality of the attack. What we expect, unfortunately, is that in the next 48 hours, Russia is going to hit major targets with everything they have.
And we've heard from the Ukrainian president as well, Volodymyr Zelensky. He's been addressing the European Parliament. Get us up to speed on what he's been saying and the resolve that we've been seeing from the Ukrainian government and from forces on the ground.
Well, if you see Zelensky, this is a man who in the past 6 hours has been the center of every war effort in Ukraine to try to contain the situation. For many of my Ukrainian friends that I speak to, they say they go on his WhatsApp, on his Telegram channel, they look at his messages, and he really props up morale in the country. This is someone that could have fled. I mean, this guy is rich. He could have left the country on day two, and he's decided, I want to stay here till the end. So, of course, he's now become almost this icon for the country. But even in Europe, you know, the fact that he's posting videos every 6 hours to show I haven't fled, I'm not leaving, I'm staying with you, and we're going to resist. For the Europeans, it was also a wake-up call that the country has made a very conscious decision to fight, to defend itself, to resist. And the Europeans believe once that decision is made and we see that Ukraine can put up a fight and this is not going to be a short war, we have to help them in every capacity. And that is where the debate is heading next. What type of sanctions? What else can the European Union do? What else can the United States do? And I guess there's going to be a real conversation about the energy sector in Russia. Is that going to be the next target?
Yeah, I wanted to get to that as well, the possibility that we could see sanctions targeting the Russian energy sector. As I mentioned, we've got even more ramped up sanctions on the financial sector. How much further could this go? And what could the reaction be on the street in Russia?
Look, the reaction on the street in Russia, I have to tell you, I'm in Poland, I'm in Warsaw, we get a very different picture here of what happens in Russia. We need to know that in Russia there's big repression of people. You just don't go out on the streets to say, down Vladimir Putin, stop the war in Ukraine. I mean, when you do that, you're also taking a risk in Russia. What the people of Russia see on TV is not what you and I are seeing and what we're not reporting. The Russian government and Vladimir Putin still says we're not the bad guys. The West is an empire of lies. Remember, that's what he said yesterday. For the Russians, it's a very different perspective. But we have seen, especially from the younger generation, is that they do not want to see this war happening. You know, this is Ukraine and Russia, two countries that have very deep connections, very deep cultural links. There's people who, of course, travel within the border or used to before the war escalated. But again, the point is, the Russian leadership is still focused on this war, and they've said that clearly. We want to hit our targets, and we want to complete this mission. So, again, the problem is Vladimir Putin is still very much in command. The military around him has not deserted him. The oligarchs, I know we talk about the rich people of Russia and what kind of pressure they can put on Vladimir Putin, but the one thing we need to make clear is that rich people in Russia are rich because Vladimir Putin allows them to be rich, so their influence is very limited.
Maria Tadeo, Bloomberg News correspondent with us from Warsaw, Poland this morning. Maria, thank you for staying on top of what's happening and giving us the perspective there on the eastern front of the NATO alliance. Right now, S&P futures are down 24 points. Dow futures down 164. NASDAQ futures down 89 points. The 10-year Treasury up 21 30 seconds now. The yield 1.75%. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg 11:30 weather, clouds in mid-40s today, clearing and high near 50 tomorrow, highs near 40 by Thursday under a mostly sunny sky. Right now, 33, mostly cloudy in Central Park.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130. To Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 99.1. To Boston, Bloomberg 1061. To San Francisco, Bloomberg 960. To the country, Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe, the Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
Six 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We're just about 3 hours away from the open of U.S. trading. Time for the five things you need to know to start your day. Brought to you by Interactive Brokers. Interactive Brokers charges margin loan rates from 0.75% to 1.58%. Rates subject to change. Learn more at ibkr.com/compare. We begin with news that Moscow is stepping up shelling in Ukraine. It's also moving more troops into the country. Satellite images show a 40-mile-long military convoy just north of Kyiv. At the same time, the Pentagon is mulling a plan to deal with Russia if it eventually decides to de-escalate. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter has the story.
A plan being called a deconfliction mechanism, and spokesman John Kirby says this could happen as Vladimir Putin has met more resistance than he expected.
You got to hand it to the Ukrainians, who have been fighting very hard for their country and making an impact and making a dent.
Having said that, Kirby says Putin still has more troops available.
He hasn't moved all of it into Ukraine, but he's moved the majority of it. He still has a lot.
In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Ed, thanks. As the conflict deepens, the list of companies abandoning Moscow is growing. Bloomberg's Renita Young joins us live with the details. Renita?
Nathan, Russia's largest foreign investor, BP, led the way with its surprising announcement on Sunday that it would exit its stake in state-controlled Rosneft. Shell followed yesterday, saying it's ending partnerships with state-controlled Gazprom. Equinor, which is Norway's biggest energy company, also announced it'll start withdrawing from its joint ventures in Russia, worth about $1.2 billion. Live in New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Renita. The markets have been whipsawed by the war, along with steps to isolate commodity-rich Russia. We get the latest on that live with Bloomberg's John Tucker. John.
Karen, the efforts to isolate Russia's economy continue. Just minutes ago came word that the European Union is now seeking to block seven Russian banks from SWIFT, including VTB, the state-owned bank. And the impact of markets extends to monetary policy. Traders this morning have erased their bets on a half-a-point Fed rate hike in March, further dimming the prospects for aggressive Fed rate hikes. Well, that could also be a positive for U.S. equities that have been experiencing this bout of extreme volatility. Live in New York, I'm John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Yeah, we're seeing that volatility in energy prices. John, oil's pushing higher despite whispers of a possible release of strategic reserves by the U.S. and its allies. Checking prices now, Brent's up 4% at $101.88 a barrel. NYMEX crude up 3.3% at $98.86.
And the Russian invasion will be a main topic tonight at President Biden's State of the Union address. Tune in for live coverage of the speech beginning at 8:30 Eastern on Bloomberg Radio and Television. And that's the five things you need to know to start your day, brought to you by Interactive Brokers.
And that brings us to 6:33 on Wall Street, 33 degrees in Central Park, still dealing with an accident in Newark, northbound Route 21 at Mill Street. Michael Barr's here with what's going on in New York and around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Nathan. New York City Mayor Eric Adams said the city's police department has been too slow in designating and investigating incidents as a hate crime. During his news briefing, Adams says that he hopes replacing the NYPD's hate crime unit head will add a sense of urgency to the issue.
I'm not going to govern the city based on stats. We're going to be clear. If there's a crime, we're going to report that crime.
Mayor Adams also says that he can't make a vaccine exception for the Brooklyn Nets basketball star Kyrie Irving, who is prevented from playing in home games at the Barclays Center because he's not vaccinated. Adams spoke to Bloomberg's Joe Matthew on Balance of Power.
Mayor Adams, will you revoke the private employer mandate so Kyrie Irving can play at the Barclays Center?
That's a question we hear all the time. Listen, the mandate's got us here. We can instantly get Kyrie to play. Just get that shot in the arm.
Mayor Adams also says he plans to announce lifting the city's public sector vaccine mandates next week. Hong Kong residents emptied store shelves in a scramble to prepare for a reported lockdown of the city later this month amid a snowballing COVID outbreak. Hong Kong's COVID-19 fatality rate is now the highest in the developed world. The city reported 117 new COVID deaths today. Hong Kong's oldest are the least vaccinated and most vulnerable. California authorities say a man shot and killed his three daughters, their chaperone, and himself during a supervised visit with the girls at a church in Sacramento. Sacramento County Sheriff spokesman Sergeant Rod Grassman says the shooter was estranged from the children's mother.
This is, as far as I can see at this point, a domestic violence related sort of incident.
Sergeant Grassman says the victims included the three girls ages 9, 10, and 13. Former New York Governor Andrew Cuomo formally launched a digital and TV advertising campaign aimed at rehabilitating his image. It comes 6 months after he resigned over a damning report by the state attorney general accusing him of multiple sexual harassment allegations. The first of the ads, a 30-second spot entitled Politics Versus the Law, features a montage of news clips and headlines that seek to suggest the AG's independent investigation into Cuomo was politicized. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts from more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thanks, Michael. Coming up to 6:36 on Wall Street, John Stanshire's got the Bloomberg Sports Update.
Thanks, Nathan. Baseball's opening day scheduled for March 31st. Will it happen? We still don't know. MLB had set a deadline for last night. If no labor deal to end the lockout, then the season would be shortened. They have now extended that deadline to 5 o'clock today. The two sides were at the bargaining table until 2 a.m. and will return at 11 this morning. Commissioner Rob Manfred emerged at around 6 last night, said, "We are working at it." MLB put out a statement that read, "We want to exhaust every possibility to get a deal done." Meanwhile, Derek Jeter is no longer running the Miami Marlins. He resigned after 4 years as CEO. He will now divest his 4% ownership. Jeter clearly differed with principal owner Bruce Sherman on the direction of the team. The Yankees have named Hensley Mullins assistant hitting coach, former Yankee player. Mullins was actually a finalist to be Yankee manager when they hired Aaron Boone. Nets off the upset win in Milwaukee, began a home-and-home with the Raptors, and it was all Toronto. In Brooklyn, 133-97. Same two teams again tonight in Toronto. 52 points for Ja Morant and a win for Memphis. Devils with seven different goal scorers and a 7-2 rout of Vancouver. Fordham beat UMass 85-73. Chuba Ohams, 23 points, 11 rebounds for the Rams. North Carolina beat Syracuse in overtime. NYCFC, the defending MLS champions, signed a new player, a New York City native named Maximo Carrizo. He signed what they call a homegrown contract on his 14th birthday. He's been playing for the team's youth academy since he was 9. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
Okay, John, thanks. 6:37 on Wall Street. Time to take a look at stocks. Some of the names moving in the pre-market. Lots to get to this morning with Bloomberg Radio and TV Markets correspondent Kriti Gupta, including some breaking earnings news from Target, Kriti.
Yeah, Nathan, let's start off with a Target number. TGT is your ticker, soaring as much as 10% in the pre-market. This is huge. Some huge earnings coming out. Their profit rising, their annual revenue crossing $100 billion. A year ago, Nathan, that number was 77 billion. So you can really see not only did the holiday timeline or the holiday season really do them well, but they've really improved on terms of their sales. 95% of those fourth quarter sales fulfilled by stores. So once again, you are seeing, although some of that digital traffic increasing, I believe about 9.5%, you are still seeing that store traffic, which is important as well. So once again, Target shares up, well, now 10.6% TGT in the pre-market. It's not the only stocks that are up though, because you are seeing a of course, some of those traditional names that come with that geopolitical risk soaring, the ones that we've been talking about for days on end, Nathan, a lot of those oil names that specifically have operations in the United States. Occidental is at the top of the list. OXY is your ticker, up 2.1%. Same story for Marathon Oil. MRO is your ticker there. Chevron as well. CVX up 1.6%. They also decided to raise their share buybacks by $5 to $10 billion per year. So that's also adding to that additional boost that you are seeing there. You are also seeing some of those defense names. RTX, for example, is Raytheon's ticker. Those shares are up 1%. We know we saw a huge move for Lockheed Martin and L3 Harris Technologies yesterday. So once again, geopolitical risk really folding into these markets. And we'll give you a quick update in just the last 30 seconds that I've spoken. Okay. Target shares now up 13% in the pre-market.
Yeah, it's going to be one to watch for sure. But we've been talking, about, of course, about all the businesses that are starting to cut off ties with Russian business. How's that affecting their stocks?
Yeah, well, when you look at some of the flight paths here, United is actually the only American domestic airline that is continuing to fly over Russia right now. We know those are limited. And United shares, UAL is your ticker, down 0.3%. That's going to be worth keeping in mind. You aren't necessarily seeing that same reaction in some of those other airline stocks, but certainly United taking a little bit of an extra hit. I'm going to add Coca-Cola into the mix as well. KO is your ticker, down 0.4%. They have some pretty big exposure to the area as well.
All right, Bloomberg Radio and TV Markets correspondent Kriti Gupta with us this morning on what is going to be another very busy day on a stock-by-stock basis for sure. And as we take a look at stocks as a whole ahead of the Tuesday morning open, futures are moving lower. We have S&P futures now down 24 points, Dow futures down 171, NASDAQ futures are lower by 82 points. Now the 10-year Treasury is up 24.30 seconds, the yield 1.74%, yield on the 2-year 1.31%. NYMEX crude right now up 4.2%, up $3.97 at $99.67 a barrel. And COMEX gold is higher by 1.25%, up $23.40 at $19.24.10 an ounce. Straight ahead, a preview of President Biden's State of the Union address with Ukraine overshadowing. We'll check in with Bloomberg government reporter Emily Wilkins from Washington. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg 11:30 weather, increasing clouds mid-40s today, a high near 50 under clearing skies tomorrow. It'll be mostly sunny by Thursday, but chillier with a high only near 40. Right now, 33 in Central Park.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Futures are falling and Target shares are jumping after it reported earnings. We get to the first word breaking news desk for today's morning call. Here's Bill Maloney. Bill, good morning.
And good morning, Karen. That's right. U.S. futures are under pressure with Dow futures down 230 points. S&P's dropped 32, while NASDAQ futures are off by 114. The U.S. 10-year yield plunges to 1.74%. Gold is up 12. Oil is surging. And Bitcoin is up by 4.7%. Japan rose 1.2% overnight, while European markets are also under pressure, led by 2.8% losses in France. And back in the U.S. on the economic front at 9:45, manufacturing PMI, and at 10 o'clock, ISM manufacturing. After the bell last night, Lucid cut its output goal. HP Inc. raised its full-year earnings outlook, and Zoom projected sales that missed estimates. Regarding earnings this morning, you mentioned Target. The EPS did beat estimates. Shares are up 13% in the pre-market, and look for Kohl's to report also in the pre-market. Wrapping things up, Foot Locker was cut to neutral over at Goldman Sachs. Live on the First of Breaking News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Karen?
All right, Bill, thank you. And to hear live breaking news over your Bloomberg, type squawk on your terminal, S-Q-U-A-W-K. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, thank you very much. Regional Ukraine officials says more than 70 Ukrainian soldiers were killed after Russian artillery hit a military base between Kharkiv and Kyiv. The report could not immediately be confirmed. President Biden delivers his first State of the Union speech tonight. The president is dealing with low approval ratings and a stalled legislative agenda on top of the Russia invasion. Bloomberg will carry tonight's address starting at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. In the NBA, the Nets lost. In the NHL, the Devils and Bruins won. The Capitals lost. Global news, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Karen.
All right, Michael, thank you. It is 6:49 on Wall Street. We turn to news in science and technology now with the Bloomberg NJIT STEM Report. It is brought to you by New Jersey Institute of Technology. NJIT makes infrastructure-ready graduates from civil engineers to transportation specialists. If it's infrastructure, NJIT grads are building it. More at njit.edu. Now here's what's making news in science, technology, engineering, and math. Omicron is fading away, and so are Americans' worries about COVID-19. According to a poll from the Associated Press, 24% say they are, quote, extremely or very worried about themselves or a family member contracting COVID. That's down from 36% in both December and January. Another 34% say they are somewhat worried. A survey has found drivers for Singapore's food delivery and ride-hailing companies are often working almost 60 hours a week. Singapore, along with governments around the world, is considering legislative changes to protect gig economy workers. Ride-hailing and food delivery companies have flourished during the pandemic, but also exacerbated social inequities. And a Wall Street darling during the pandemic is projecting sales for the current quarter below analyst estimates. Zoom has struggled to maintain the massive growth it experienced during the pandemic when its video conferencing platform served as a critical tool for businesses. Zoom's stock has dropped more than 75% from its October 2020 high. And that's the Bloomberg NJIT STEM Report. Nathan.
Okay, Karen, thank you. We're live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. We're at 6:50 on Wall Street. Time now to check what's going on in D.C. Some of the top stories in our nation's capital include the Pentagon seeking a deconfliction mechanism with Russia as the fighting ramps up in Ukraine. Senator Joe Manchin urging President Biden to step up domestic energy production, and the U.S. booting a dozen Russian diplomats at the United Nations. All this as President Biden prepares for a State of the Union address tonight, confronting economic doubts along with the war in Ukraine. Bloomberg government reporter Emily Wilkins joins us live from the nation's capital ahead of what will be another one of those seize-the-moment events in Washington. Emily, good morning. It seems like the stakes really couldn't be much higher for President Biden tonight.
No. I mean, you look at President Biden's approval ratings, an average from 538 finds that numerous polls have the president only at 40% approval. That's very low for his presidency, very low for really any president at this point. And the State of the Union, you know, it's not going to be an immediate cure-all, but it is a chance for the Biden administration to try and take back some control of the narrative. The speech was initially supposed to be about addressing the economy, about addressing inflation, and that's still going to be a part of the speech, Nathan. It has to be. But of course, a lot of rewriting has been done in light of the Ukrainian and Russian crisis. And one thing that President Biden really needs to do tonight is to defend what the U.S. has done, to defend his own administration's actions on this. We heard yesterday from White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki saying that, you know, Biden had helped lead a number of European coalitions in moving together on this, that they're back as far as a leader of promoting democracy in the world. But we've seen polling that shows that Americans don't think that Biden has done enough yet in terms of sanctions, that he hasn't been as aggressive as he needs to be. And so it'll be interesting to see what tone he takes tonight in terms of supporting Ukrainian citizens, as well as what the U.S. stance on Russia will be going forward.
It's really quite a challenge, isn't it? When President Biden knew that he needs to reframe the message on a domestic front, and now it seems as though the message is being reframed for him with events happening on the other side of the world here. I mean, what's the challenge for President Biden as he tries to show that he does have control of what's happening in the world?
Well, I think part of the challenge is that, you know, there's certain rock place, you know, hard thing in a rock place that he's stuck in between. U.S. wants to go ahead and be aggressive here. You see a lot of U.S. support for Ukrainian citizens, but Biden has made it very clear at this point why you're not seeing more sanctions on Russia's energy industry, why you're not seeing U.S. troops going into Ukraine. To another extent, lawmakers, Democrats who I spoke with yesterday, they were very clear that they do want Biden to address these economic and domestic issues. They want him to continue to push forward parts of the Build Back Better plan that they think can pass, things like lowering drug prices and climate change, elder care, child care. There's still a lot of support and momentum for those policies, even as the timeline to pass them grows more narrow. And so Biden just has a lot to do with the speech. He has to empathize with Americans. He has to say what he's doing for inflation. He has to address the supply chain. He has to address the economy. He has to address Russia and Ukraine. The White House has said they don't want to make this speech a long one, but there's a lot that he has to hit on here, and in a very certain way to make sure that his message comes across as the administration wants it to.
Yeah, you sort of allude to the idea of a State of the Union address typically as sort of a laundry list of asks that the president typically looks for from Congress to sort of frame the agenda. But it's very interesting because President Biden, in a lot of ways, in this first year of his presidency, it's been about legislative asks. There's been so much focus on the Build Back Better agenda. What's the difficulty to try to bring back momentum to a domestic agenda when there's so much going on geopolitically?
I think to a certain extent, you know, Biden is going to touch on what he would like to see done, because that is a key part of the State of the Union. But it's really not going to be the focal point, as it has been for, say, previous State of the Unions. To a certain extent, Biden has to sell what Democrats have already done, sell infrastructure, sell COVID relief. I was speaking last night with Angie Craig, a Democrat from Minnesota, who's going to be facing a very tough re-election. And she says she needs President Biden to really signal to Americans that they've given them the tools they need to go back to normal, that now is not a time for aspiration. It's a time for getting Americans really past the pandemic and into that next stage.
Only about 30 seconds left here, but are we expecting the usual guests in the gallery, the pointing up there and using normal Americans as sort of symbols of go ahead.
No guests. Vaccines are required. Lawmakers do not have to wear masks, so it will be kind of interesting to pan around the room. All lawmakers were invited to attend this year. We know that not all of them will accept that invitation, but it will be interesting to see who shows up, who social distances, who's wearing a mask. But it's still State of the Union is still not back to what we were used to pre-pandemic.
Bloomberg government reporter Emily Wilkins, part of our team of reporters that'll be part of the coverage of President Biden's first State of the Union address. Catch it all tonight at 8:30 Wall Street time on Bloomberg Radio and Television. Karen.
All right, Nathan, it is 6:56 on Wall Street, and this is Bloomberg Daybreak, and March is Women's History Month, and every day this month, we are celebrating significant moments in women's history. And now with your installment for March 1st, here's Bloomberg's Renita Young.
On this day in women's history, in 1912, Isabella Goodwin is appointed the first female U.S. detective. She started in the New York City Police Department as a police matron, overseeing female inmates and cleaning jail cells. But a bank heist made national headlines, and the police department asked Goodwin to step in. She posed as a maid and infiltrated a seedy boarding house. The information Goodwin found out led to the arrest of a gangster named Eddie the Boob Kinsley. The department rewarded Goodwin with a first-grade detective shield. If her story sounds familiar, you might have seen it on TV in the recent TV series The Alienist. Based on Caleb Carr's novel of the same name, Dakota Fanning plays Sarah Howard, who's based on Isabella Goodwin. That's Today in Women's History. I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Radio.
All right, Renita, thank you. And again, futures falling this morning. S&P futures down 39 points. Dow futures down 271. NASDAQ futures down 135. And we continue to watch shares of Target this morning. They are jumping in early trading, up about 15% after reporting earnings. And Bloomberg surveillance is straight ahead. For Nathan Hager, I'm Karen Moscow, and this is Bloomberg.